I think it's important to address the question of the second bulk, and I may be incorrect with this answer, but we have the first man, Adam, and the second man, Christ, and this second bowl possibly could be a picture of Christ being the sufficient sacrifice, and that anything of ourselves is, as we learned in Romans a couple years ago, is it's all we can declare is, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And then we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the deliverance that we have. So possibly this second bullock is a picture of the Lord Jesus being far more sufficient than the first.
Yes, I think that that's essentially what you had in mind, John. If you go back to 1 Corinthians, you've got the first man, Adam, and the last man is Christ. The first and second man, Adam is the first man, the second man is Christ. But I'm thinking also, when you look at the second bullock in Judges 6, what you get is that there was the first bullock. It doesn't mention it, but it's assumed that there had to have been the first bullock. And the first bullock represents everything that was corrupt, everything that was unsuitable for God, is in the first order of man. And God has brought that first order completely to an end. And this is what he's going to demonstrate in this second bullock here, in the pulling down of the whole system of Baal and setting it aside, a system that is corrupt. And I think we need to appreciate that the system that we've been under in this world is a corrupt system. It cannot sustain anything for God. It cannot produce anything for God. It has to go out of the sight of God. And that's where the second bullock, the second man, the last Adam comes into view as that which sets the first aside and brings in what is for God.
I think that's why you have the thought of the peace with God and the peace of God. And the strength of knowing, the Gideon knowing that he was at peace with God. So now he can move out in the energy of knowing that God is with him. You know, we're thinking back of what we said earlier this morning, that Gideon had to stand on his own two feet. Not under his father's umbrella, he had to step out, and God was preparing him, because he was going to have to go and undo some things that his father had done that was wrong. And so, "Thou mighty man of valor, I am with thee." I was thinking also how earthly things eventually lead to a system of satanic control or influence. You see, the Midianites represent earthly things. We can be involved in a lot of things. They're noble, sometimes and important. But at the back of all of these things is really satanic forces. Baal itself, right? It had taken its place in a very prominent position. But you know, I was thinking that where the sacrifice was on a very high mountain. It was where he was threshing wheat. It was where he was enjoying Christ. And when we find ourselves in these elevated places, it gives us strength to stand up against the enemy. So as young people, we need to rise to these higher planes. And that is where the Lord would have us, to enjoy himself, to be strengthened, to know that we have the peace of God that can energize us, so that when he says to us, "You see that particular thing that's going on in the assembly? You see that particular thing that you're doing? Maybe even mom or dad are doing." You know, and we want to be practical, young people, and want to be real. It is hard for me to think that if mom and dad say that place over there is okay for us to go, and it's not consistent with the Word of God, that when you come to the age where you see in the Word of God that that is not right, they say, "Listen, I can't go there. I can't spend my money listening to those things or finding myself in the theaters." We have to tear down the things that are of this world because their influences are satanic.
I want to just say a word on the two great dangers of the day that we live in. The first is rationalizing. Do you know what it means to rationalize? I know our time is gone. We'll quit by 15 after. Do you know what it means to rationalize? It's the activity of the mind. It is the looking at things mentally in such a way. And following right on the heels of rationalizing comes compromising. They go together. First is the mind. The mind thinks about it, and then the mind having thought about it, the flesh carries it out. Well, look at what it says here. Throw down. Well, wait a minute. This is an altar. Couldn't we modify it? Couldn't we kind of fix it up again? And this must be good for something. And we can think of a number of reasons why we shouldn't take that solid, rock-solid stand. God says what He means. He means what He says. He says, throw down that altar. Nothing else. Nothing else is suitable. Well, you know, I think we're going to get the clippers and go up and trim these trees. They are nice. Have you noticed how nice they look up there? That's the language of the rationalist, you see. And pretty soon, they're like, really, Saul, you haven't obeyed. What does it say? It says, cut them down. That only means one thing. Cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord, thy God. And where is it in reference to the rock? Ah, it's on top. It's on the top of the rock. Where else is it? Is it in the place of His choice? It's in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Take the remains of that despicable grove and use it. Use that wood to bring glory and honor to Christ.
He's reading 1st and 2nd Kings about that. Idols up, idols down. Idols up, idols down. Depending on who the king was. So then you had Josiah. He didn't just take them down. He grounded them down to powder and threw them in the river. So even more than just toppling them down, you know, taking that music, don't just put it in your closet. You know, that's a particular example. It's not a matter of just taking stuff and putting it away. It's getting rid of it, destroying it, any type of remembrance. Because, of course, if something's sitting in your closet, something sitting under your bed, under your mattress, whatever, you can always go get it. You know, you might think that, all right, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done with this. But the temptations are strong. So it's a matter of totally getting rid of it and not just leaving yourself blank, but replacing it with something else. Mm-hmm. And that's what Brother Chuck was saying. You know, the worship to the Lord Jesus and reading your word and things like that. There must be something that you're actually doing. Idle time is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.